Since 2019, Rump Chat Podcast has been bringing you useless information. It has brought you terms like, it's the tits, or he's a douche, or that guy's a douche, or I could kick his ass. It has brought people to rock and roll, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. It has done a lot, but today, coming back to the podcast is a guest that we haven't had on for like a month, but he's making his victorious return to Rump Chat above all rumors and speculations from so many people in the rodeo business. Today on Rump Chat, we'd like to welcome back one of the founders. He's one of the good guys. Back by popular demand, Rump Chat would like to welcome back co-founder Josh Hambone Hilton.
Thank you.
He's back.
I'm back, everyone.
Best. That is the best coming back music we've ever had.
It was. That was a great idea. Oh, my God.
Hello. Welcome back, buddy.
Oh, man. Hello, Big Bear. I miss you. I have not seen... Well, I saw you for a couple days in San Antonio, but it's such a whirlwind, and really haven't spent time with you since Vegas, but oh, my God. I'm sorry, Rump Chat Nation, but putting on a big rodeo is a bitch.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've obviously been busy, and I've told everybody that, but it's so funny.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest. I just got it today. I was at the Association of Rodeo Committees meetings in Fort Worth. Still going on right now. But anyway, and even the guy like, man, we weren't on the last Rump Chat or come for, and, you know, he's not there. You fired him from Santa. I did not fire Big Bear.
Yes.
I'm San Angelo.
Everybody, Bear, I did not get fired.
Mutual thing where Big Bear, like he does everywhere, wants to rotate out. He will be back in 2026.
Yes, and I've tried to explain that too. Like, it's not that I don't like a rodeo, but the best thing is being a rodeo clown is when you switch out and you always keep your people wanting you back. So, like, this year I went to Logandale and worked some others. Next year I'm going to Logandale and Lufkin. And then next year I'll be back. And then when I leave Logandale, they're going to be like, man, we want you back. So it's always keeping people wanting you to be there.
Yep.
And, oh, I had so many people, like, I had contestants even call me and be like, hey, man, just down in Angelo, hope everything's all right. And I'm like, what? Like, are you in Hambone? Did you guys split? I'm like, no, we didn't split. He's like, well, did people are saying you got fired from Angelo? I'm like, I did not. It was my idea.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't, you know, but I love this rodeo. I love the San Angelo Stock Show Rodeo so much. I don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Matt Merritt did a phenomenal job. And I said it on the last podcast you weren't on, but I said it earlier. I said, man, Matt's done a great job. I love Matt Merritt. He's a good friend. And he killed it. Started a new phrase that I would have got in trouble for, but he got away with it.
Yeah, call him Boy Thunderbutter.
That was.
And I urge everybody to look up the Urban Dictionary to that.
If you're with your kids, don't read it out loud.
Yeah.
But so then they're like, well.
In defense, the Urban Dictionary, you can say, okay, I'm looking at a sombrero. You can say sombrero, and it'll be something dirty. Like, they just take every word ever created by man in the English dictionary and make something dirty about it.
Yeah, but Thunderbutter is definitely different than sombrero. Those are two very unique words put together. But, gosh dang, who else called me? They're like, when I said I didn't get fired, they're like, well, things... I know you're saying you didn't get fired, but can you explain the reason that he's not on Rump Chat anymore? I'm like, because I was like, homeboy's busy. Like, this is a partnership. So, like, when Hambone can't go, I row the boat. When I can't go, he rows the boat. It's just how it goes.
Well,
so,
and I have
so awkward.
But, Big Bear, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, it's
because you've carried the ship. And it's just so hard because when I get done with the day and I would have an evening, and I did a couple. That I could have recorded.
Well, the last thing you want to do. That's the last thing.
It is so hard. I'm so exhausted mentally because you don't. It is just. Oh, my God. Those of you who put on rodeos can understand, but a huge committee and a huge rodeo, excuse me, and all the pressure, it is, it's mentally draining. Oh, like we are a staff of seven, and we're put on one of the top 10 rodeos in the country, and I'm not saying there's maybe the same at Pendleton or Salinas. I'm not sure, but it's exhausting, and I do all the sponsorships. I do all the production. Now, granted, I have a team, right, but not for sponsorships and just all the different stuff. We started a shoot club. Justin Jonas, my boss, it was a great idea. Everybody loved it, but that was a huge undertaking in the beginning.
So what is the shoot club?
Shoot club is, you know, you pay a membership and you get two passes every time and then six guest passes. It's open Friday and Saturday nights, so that's six on all three weekends. So you can, and you get two passes, you go all six times, and you get six guest passes that you can use two at a time or one. You just can't use all six at once. But it was the first time, so we're gonna redial it in. But huge success there. You know, issues, Cowboy Channel, this and that, issues here, issues there. Oh, hey, what's the password to the selfie station in the front lobby? Hey, what's it? I mean, it's just non. This is what pisses me off. My committee, they have all the information, and then they text me, what time's the meeting? Bastards. I don't even answer. I'm not going to answer. Or what's the shirt color? No. So I have to get a buffer in here.
Like
I need Ashley.
You need a middleman.
Give me Ashley.
Yeah.
Give me your wife.
Just say, here's the deal. Because
Whit can't do it because she's entertaining my family or watching Gus and Xander. And so she's busy as shit with that. So
well, I think that's one thing a lot of people don't understand about all that is dealing with people is hard. Rodeo is easy. That's why I tell everybody, like, when I'm in the arena, everything is perfect. Outside of the arena, dealing with people is what makes it hard. Dealing with different committees and sponsors. And it's a great job. And, like, I never want anybody to say that I'm not appreciative because after COVID, I swore I would never complain about another parade. The other day, I had to catch myself. Hey, now you're going to be there for the parade. Oh, shit. You know what? Yes, I will. But, you know, dealing with people is the hardest part. You know, dealing with animals is easy. The rodeo is easy. Dealing with people, trying to keep everybody happy. Because in your job as a rodeo producer and my job as a rodeo clown, you're not allowed to have a bad day.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be pissed off. Because, like, if you're not happy with everybody, well, I don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
God, well, what yeah, called I know. And I get a little short, and I have to catch
myself. I think you've been doing way better.
I know, but you get the bands, the beer barn bands. Oh, the check is written to the wrong name. Well, that was the name that was on the W-9, and they're wanting to get paid, and you're dealing with that. Or, you know, you get a guy coming up, the band wants a bag of ice, and I'm like, freaking take care of it. Now, granted, I signed up for this, and I bring a lot of it on because I'm expanding things. I'm expanding the show. We are expanding the show, right. Not me. But it's just, it's exhausting. It is so exhausting. It's nonstop. And, but it is so worth it because I tell you what, the most proud thing I've done at this rodeo in the 4 years I've been here was Sunday. Because Tejano Day, the Mexican rodeo, Jerry Diaz production, that was all me. 100% me. Now
I want you to tell everybody exactly what that is because if you've never been to one of these deals, they are absolutely a show. Yeah, it's not a rodeo, it's a show.
We call it it's the Tejano Day rodeo is what we went with Tejano Day. We didn't want Mexican extravaganza. That's Denver or,
Fiesta del Charro.
Fiesta del Charro. That's
Flying U.
Flying U's deal. So, anyway, Jerry Diaz is a great producer of these events. And we have worked them for years in Denver. I have worked the Fiesta del Charles for years in California for Reno. So I know these events work. It's theatrical. It's performances.
Yeah,
it's not competition.
It's not rodeo. It's totally theatrical.
Well, we call it rodeo, Mexican rodeo at the town today, but it's not. It's theatrics. It's expedition. Exhibition.
It's a Ford Expedition.
Yeah. So anyway, but it was 100% me. Like, I brought it to the table. I've been wanting to do this for a couple of years. And then Justin gave me the blessing with the blessing of – then Justin okayed it. We went to the board with it. They okayed it. So, you know, I have bosses. So
yeah.
They gave the blessing for it. But it was my balls on the chopping block. Like, this was 100% me. I pushed it. So I was nervous, and we had last week, the Monday before, we had like 600 some tickets left, which was okay because we weren't going to lose money, right? We weren't going to lose, maybe make a little bit. That's just ticket wise because you want to have your event paid for before you even open the door.
Right.
That's the goal of every event. I don't care if you're putting on a concert, goat roping, whatever. You want the sucker paid before you even open the door. So we were good there, but we sell shit out. And the morning we're rehearsing, Justin was like, man, he brings a lot of people. I'm like, yeah, dancers, singer,
matadors.
Mariachi. Well, we didn't have the matador because we had Manu.
Oh, yeah, Manu.
So charros, everybody. He's like, holy cow. And he's very professional. But Jerry is adamant. He's like Boyd, but really super nice.
And speaks Spanish.
So
he's the Mexican nice Boyd, is what you're saying.
So, but and I mean that, and it's complimentary.
Yeah.
As in, he knows what he wants. He knows what works. And he does his job.
Yeah.
That's why he goes so many places. So... when it came in, rehearsal was great. We did the the production meeting, and then it was like, bam. It was so like from 10, we got done. We went down, did the meeting at noon, came right back. I changed a shirt. Boss and I grabbed a smash burger in the Midway, ate at my trailer as I'm changing, and we went back in, and doors opened at 1 o'clock. I had the ASU, Angelo State University, has a great mariachi. And they were in the front lobby, people standing around taking videos. So then they went inside and we gave them tickets to, that was kind of their payment, is tickets. Cause they'll actually play events. So, and then the badass mariachi out of San Antonio was on the front. We had Boyd announcing and with Luis Canella, the great Spanish speaking announcer from Denver, who did Broncos games for years.
I worked with him at Bakersfield, California. At Tomas's.
Oh, yeah. He had Luis Canella?
Yep.
From Denver?
Yep.
Well, you worked with him in Denver for a decade.
Yeah, I've worked with him. A great guy.
Yeah. So anyway, and when we started, we were half full. And Justin's like, next year, you know, it's all your sponsor sheets. That's where your sponsors aren't coming. And I'm like, crap. Well, I tell you what, it filled in. They were such a line at the front. We were hit with such... Everybody came
walk
at once.
Up.
Yeah,
so it was like
up.
A yeah.
So there were 70. They sold out, and you look up 15 minutes in, and there is not an empty seat. And I was so jacked because Benji was here, just running. He was mixing all the sound. He wasn't doing the rodeo. I obviously did the rodeo, but he was making sure everything sounded good. And you know, it's his sound and lights in the building. But he was doing that because there's not much to do. It's just Manu and Stacy were the only two tracks he had to play. And so I got to, like, walk around and do stuff. And it was I'm so damn proud of that show. I mean, we're even talking about doing two perfs next
year.
Well,
you know, I think, too, after getting to be a part of several of these Mexican fiestas, like, the culture is just so awesome. And the pageantry with the... when they bring in the dancers and the opening with the, and I don't even know if Jerry Diaz here, but like at Denver when they have the people lined up on both
they
sides.
They do that. Yep. Yep. The grand entry and then the end, the big finale.
I know I'm
going to
mess up the
dance.
Word. Escuchamar.
I can't say it.
It's with the side saddle riding.
Yeah. Escuchamarza. Escuchamarza. I can't say it either.
But you know,
I guarantee you, Boyd's driving down the road right now. You dumbasses, it's this.
Escuchamara. But you know, like San Antonio has their Mexican fiesta.
Yep.
And so I think it's something that's been around for a long time, but is really starting to hit mainstream because it is so fun to go to one of these shows because it's so different.
It's beautiful, colorful. Sammy and his lights, well, Benji's lights, but Sammy's our LD, and he's badass. And it's so bad. It was just, I was so proud of it. And the music, all the music is the mariachi, right? Like I said.
But this is not just like a mariachi. This is a big-ass band.
This
a
is
bad,
a professional.
Big-ass band.
And here at Angelo, we have the stages, which we had nobody on the sides because
right.
You can't walk behind the mariachi. They take up the whole thing. But they're right there. It's just perfect. It was like a stage. And they would just kick it off. And nobody knew what to expect here. No one except Boyd, Benji, Lisa, and her crew, me. There were about four of us who knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Pete's crew doesn't work it, doesn't do Mexican rodeos. Well, Noah Kreps came, so he had seen Denver. But you know, I had, board members said, I'll never bet against you again. I'm like, well, why'd you bet against me in the beginning? But no, it was a compliment. And that's exactly how I took it.
Until you see it, you just don't understand the pageantry. Like, when you look back at shows and the things that work, and just like me and you, when we were on Cowboy Mafia, where we're talking about production and shows, like, those things are just produced where it's cool, where there's not a drag in it, and there's always something to see. But you look at, like, Vegas. You look at shows like the Lipizzaner Stallions and the deal at the Excalibur.
That's
those
exactly
are
it's
shows.
Like the Excalibur.
It's a show.
It's the Excalibur, and that would be a great place to do it. It's like a dinner show.
Yeah.
You know, except with hot dogs and popcorn that was popped probably last week.
The only thing
Carlo's just trying to get rid of it.
The one thing that didn't go good was at Denver the year the bull jumped over the they had to tell the story. It was because no one believes me when I'm like,
he went under the fence.
He started hooking the dancers.
They put panels out there, and they put a platform where the dancers dance on the time event end. So, because they cut the arena down, they put the – anyway. So, the dancers are out there, and this son of a bitch hooks the fence up, which, crazy thing, same thing happened here, but we have Prefert, thank God, and he couldn't get underneath the fence. This sucker lifted the fence a good three and a half, 4 feet, and they cleared out that back area because they were all the dancers were back there. So anyway, so yeah, Denver, they lifted it up, and I mean, they were running up on the stage. That bull was back there. It was nuts.
They were going for, you know, like, I don't want anybody to ever get hurt, but when bulls get out and no one gets hurt, it's pretty cool.
Well, it is entertaining. But
I'm glad it didn't happen here in Angelo.
No, but Manu was badass.
Manu did our opening
Saturday night for the shootout. Did three jumps. He wanted to do one more, but they opened the gate, and I'm so glad they did because that sucker ran right out. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Less than a minute. Exactly what you want. Now, during the Mexican rodeo, he did, four or five jumps. And I don't know how he does it. Like, I thought his head was decapitated twice, and the bull kind of baited up, and they got him out. It was just I don't know if I was the most proud I've been in this job, because I knew what we could do, and thank God my boss gave me has the confidence in me,
right,
to allow that, to get the okay from him and the board. But I was just on cloud nine. And then the beer barn looked like a Saturday night. We sold out of beer. Out of beer. Shut down at 8 o'clock.
How much beer does it take to sell out in San Angelo, Texas?
I mean, probably not Sykeston sell out, but, yeah, a lot. Midway was great. And this was after Saturday that was cold and rainy. So we didn't, until 4 o'clock. So the Midway was dead all day. Until the evening, people came out. Now, the beer barn Saturday night in the wine tent was nuts, and obviously the rodeo was crazy because I tell you what, out here when you had a month for or rain for a month and a half, people are in a damn good mood and looking to party. So the Saturday night was lit, but Saturday day, which you count on that with, you know, we didn't have 2% last Saturday, but you count on that day, you know, and so Sunday, last year we were closed. And I said, and we needed another day. And so we came up with this, and I'm just, anyway, I'm rambling on, but very proud of
that. I got
that.
A question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you feel like that some of these venues have a lot of untapped shows that you could put on besides just a rodeo, like things that involve rodeo, like a BFO day where you could still sell that many tickets, like having a freestyle bullfight or having the Mexican rodeo, maybe having another horse inspired event? Because I was talking to Lucia just the other day, like we're in Western, and I know you hate this sometimes, but Western sports,
yeah,
shit is booming right now.
Yeah, I know.
We're freaking rolling.
And this, I wanted to stand up and say this today in those meetings. Like, we're the last affordable sport, professional sport.
Oh, my God.
Rodeo was the last affordable sport. I mean, NFL stadiums are packed. College football stadiums are packed. Women's sports. My girl, Caitlin Clark.
Oh, my God. We got to talk about that.
Well, we will in a second. But, we're the last affordable family sport. I mean, I wouldn't want to take Gus to a football game if I'm sitting in Gen Pop because,
well, you can't sit down for one.
We can't sit down, one. Two, there's some guy going to go, you know, F you, you piece of shit. You effing suck. I don't want him around that. Me? Right. I don't give a shit. I'll be right in it with him.
Yeah, trust you will. But, watch you watch Iowa football.
Yeah, but.
You suck.
Yeah, and so it's the last affordable family venue or family sport.
On the back of Cotton Rosser's Old Pots, America's number one sport, or what's it say, for families. Gosh dang, what is that? It just blanked my mind.
America's number one family sport?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. We'll see you at the Flying E Rodeo. Come see us.
Yeah.
And that is so true. But I feel like that with some of these shows, you could do, besides just rodeo events, which I wouldn't want to, I'm not trying to X out the rodeo guys, but, you know, when you think about these venues that have weeks of rodeo, people want to come see Western stuff where you could put different things together and still sell out a show and make it kind of cool because it's different. Because, you know, if you've been to rodeo, you know how the rodeo goes, but when you go to a, I don't want to say a sideshow, a specialty show, it might even get more people that, you know, probably wouldn't go because they go to so many rodeos, like, we've seen it. But that, hey, we got this event. Well, maybe, you know. I don't know.
No, I'm with you.
I'm spitballing.
Well, you know, it's just it's America's sport. And Donnie Gay said today, he was the keynote speaker. He goes, I don't consider this a sport. It's a lifestyle. He goes, I never have to take off my uniform.
Yeah.
I never have to take off my cowboy hat, my long sleeve shirt, my boots, and my jeans. So, and that resonates and that makes sense. But as far as entertainment, it is the last affordable. I mean, a $20 ticket, free parking. Where else can you go see a professional sport?
There's nothing with free parking.
Free parking. But you can at most rodeos. I'd love to start charging here. You know how much more money we'd make? Ain't going to happen. You know, but.
But how come, okay, answer this. I'm going to put you on the spot again. What is different about rodeo? Because if you're at a rodeo and you charge for ticking, or parking, people will throw a fit. If you charge for parking at an Oklahoma Thunder basketball game, no one says a word.
That's what I in
Sydney. If you do it at a rodeo, but oh my, you're gonna okay. Sydney. At a rodeo, if you charge $5 for parking, this is bullshit. You go to a Thunder game, it's $30. Well, you know,
you see what's crazy?
Isn't Sydney, that nuts?
I tried for years in Sydney to charge for parking. I said, you guys need to do this, and I'll credit Boyd for this. He goes, here's what you do: you give him something for it. Give him a TV, raffle off a TV. You pay $5, you go buy it. $250 TV. Well, what they did was they got coolers.
Yeah.
So every night they raffle off a cooler. So you pay $5, you get a raffle ticket, and you know what happened? There was one guy that threw a fit, and he goes, "I ain't paying." He drove off.
Really?
He went part, which they're like, beep, 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 beep. Yes, can we get the police down here? And they
tow truck.
Then they kicked the guy out.
No shit.
That's it. Besides that, there was more people going, "Hey, can I buy extra tickets? Can I give you $20 and get, you know, four more tickets? Or I'm sorry, three more tickets?" Like, yeah, here you go. Bam. It was anyway. And that increased them. They make, I don't know, $15,000-$20,000. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Off of parking. And it's there. Now you give a little bit to the club that does it, that actually takes the tickets and does the parking. But it's just money.
So the crazy thing about ticket prices, I've been volunteering at Ponca City. Wildcat Soccer is the announcer.
I have seen that.
And I've sent anybody that watched Houston when Tomlin goes, "Hello, Houston." It's iconic.
It's badass.
So during Houston, no, it was right after Houston, I was announcing for the Punk City Wildcat Soccer, and I started off on the microphone as, "Hello, Ponca City."
It was awesome.
Well, here's the kicker, though. I sent it to Boyd, Andy Seiler, Tallman, Hambone, because I thought they'd get a kick out of it.
I did. I loved it.
Boyd sent back, like, kind of a shitty message. Oh, imitation. Like, I know he was messing with me, but I was like, I thought he would really got a kick out of that.
The
people of Ponca awesome. City thought it was funny.
It was awesome.
But
I'm trying to find it.
Even for high school soccer, it's $10 a ticket to get in. Like, do you have it?
No. I don't have it.
But you think about that. Just for high school soccer, $10. So for the kids, for students, it's $7. So for my three kids, it's 21. So for me and Ashley, it's 20. So we're at $41 for a family of five to go to a high school sport, which, you know, we do it to support the kids.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, so, I mean, when you talk ticket prices and all this and that, I mean, what's $10?
Well, you know? Yeah, but you're right. But you go to I'd pay $30 to only walk one block instead of two. Well,
yeah.
I'm lazy. But, you know, or if I could park right outside the stadium for $30, I'm paying it because it's an experience. And I'm blessed enough to be able to do it. And I know a lot of people can't. Anyway, we're getting in the weeds.
Well, I want to tell you one more thing about the soccer deal. So it was pretty cool. So at these soccer games, they've never had just a ton of production. Okay.
Usually, children's soccer doesn't have production.
Well, I mean, in high school soccer, so they usually have like a parent or somebody from the high school.
I got it.
You found it?
I got it.
Okay. Here we go.
"Hello, Ponca City."
Someone's stadium.
Boyd says, "Cheap impersonation.
Dude, but
like me doing 'Let's Get Ready to Bull Ride.' Cheap impersonation."
Yeah, Boyd was bashing me on.
But he bashed himself.
Yeah.
He said, "That's like me saying, 'Let's get ready to bull ride.'"
But,
cheap
impersonation. But so I did a couple of these games, and I put some actual.
Oh, my God.
I put production into high school soccer. So the Wildcat Tech has, they put together a hype video that they wanted to do in pre-show. Now, none of these people know me, really. I'm Callie Joe's uncle. And so Casey, Callie Joe's mom, my sister-in-law, so she's like, "Oh, man, let me get my brother-in-law up in there." So, I mean, I straight up rodeo announced the shit out of this. I'm like, "Well, all right, you know, everybody, as we welcome our early arrivals to Solon Stadiums tonight, right now I'd like to look at the big screen. Here's a little taste of what you're going to see tonight." And then they showed the hype video of the soccer game. Well, so then Willie's Wash, which is a car wash, they have straight up, just like the Ram Rodeo deal, you text the word "Go Cats" to 04400.
Oh, no.
For a chance to get a...
Did you have Jacob Moorhead do the 0499?
No, I did it myself, but I straight up... I mean, I was like, well, everybody, don't forget, I've seen what you drive to the soccer game tonight, and if you look up the big screen right now, we got the graphic up for you. If you need a free Willy's wash, text the word "Go Cats" to 04400.
Why didn't you say if you need to wash your Willy?
Well, because I thought that'd be...
Well, it is children's soccer. So.
Yeah, it's high school soccer. So, but like they did that. So then I did. Oh my God! I and I've got it on my computer. I saved it because I did Wayne Brooks at the end of at senior night. I'm like, you know what? As we look at our high school seniors standing on the field tonight. The money will spend, the trophies will tarnish, but the time that these kids have spent playing at Sullen Stadium will be memories that will last a lifetime.
And that's true.
And I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat. And people were like bringing down the house. So Chad, my brother-in-law, I get him set up on the iPad. So he's got the music. Which here's something you
nice.
May, this is what you don't know about high school music. At all these stadiums, they send each high school a playlist. You cannot play anything that's not on this playlist because in Oklahoma, somebody played Katy Perry, "I Kissed a Girl," and it flipped a bunch of people out. And then somebody else played...
Sure. You something know, stupid.
They played all the music that the high school kids are listening to anyway. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But so now you can only play so many songs. But like we did like pre-show, I had the music laid out. And they've never had this. Usually it's just the athletic director. Tonight, starting lineup is number 13, Henry Caniz Lopez. And I was like, all right, starting off tonight for the Ponca City Wildcats. And we had like build music.
That's awesome.
That I put on this iPad for Chad.
Nice.
Like, Henry Caniz Lopez! And I'm not shitting you. The principal and the athletic director came up and were like, will you please do this? We will put you on payroll. You know what payroll is? $20 a game.
Nice.
Yeah! But I'm never going to be around. But it was just really cool. And I guess I tell you all this to say $10 a ticket.
No, it takes me to what I want to do for Sydney. Like... We're never up there. I mean, well, I guess we're up there end of September for Omaha, but obviously we have a rodeo that night. But I have always wanted to go back and put up a big sound system.
Oh, man.
Pyro. Like these big high school dudes. I mean, down here in Texas?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, we're, do these we're big a 6A, intros.
But we got, it's just, we got shitty speakers, but well, we're working on it.
Yeah. I'll sell you a line array system.
Oh, but it was fun. It was really fun because, like, even the high school kids, you know, you don't feel like when you get older that you're out of touch, but you are. Like, but they don't
I
like do. You.
I want to put up a video screen.
Oh, my God.
Do an opening video. Do you know, take yourself back to being in the cleats and having that and that production and the music banging in pyrotechnics when you run rather than.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome your Sydney Cowboys.
We didn't even have that. We had the band.
Well, that's what
we had the pet band.
We had that, too. Then they play our fight song, but...
Yeah.
It was just like, oh.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine having that? Like, kids today, and a lot of these, it's just stupid. I mean, municipal stadium here for the high school in Angelo seats 19,000.
No shit. For the high school?
High school.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
19,000? That's more than the Thomas and Mack. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll they say... Up. Well, I guess this is Texas high school football. I mean, exactly. Look at Jonathan Moxon.
Hey, did you know that? Did you know that? Booby Miles got arrested.
Booby Miles, he was from Friday Night Lights.
Oh shit, I'm sorry.
That's two different movies.
My bad.
Booby. I'd have a hard time.
Okay, I lied to you. San Angelo Stadium is a stadium in San Angelo, Texas, built in 1956. holds 17,500 people.
That's a lot. Can you Google Fairfield High School in Langdon? See what it seats.
Right there, I'm telling you.
17,000. That is.
It was home for Angelo State until 2014. They built their own. I did not know that. But anyway, but it's like bench seating. You know, it's two sides of that. So it's
yeah, but that's still pretty badass.
17,500.
Like sports
for high school football.
Wonder what a ticket is to.
What is it, Ponca City? Ponca, what?
No, look up Fairfield High School, Langdon, Kansas, seating. We don't even have a stadium name. It's just a field with some bleachers.
Fairfield? I can't spell. School. Oh, my God. I can't spell. I've had two vodka tonics. Fairfield. Oops. I better put Kansas. Football. Stadium.
I'll bet it seats 200-300.
It doesn't have anything. It doesn't register.
Is it even registered?
No.
That sucks.
The Fairfield Falcons? Falcons?
Yep, that's where I went to high school.
It has their schedule for the last... Ooh. What year did you graduate again?
99.
Okay.
We didn't do good.
Here we go. 1999, you were 0-8.
No, we weren't. Not 99.
I'm sorry, you were 5-4.
Yeah, ass.
You lost. You won against Inman.
Yeah.
Lost against. You lost 52-0 against Claflin.
Claflin. Those guys played in the NFL.
You suck.
Claflin, no, bullshit. Claflin won state
52-0.
Claflin was good, Dick. Like, they were amazing.
A heartbreaker against Kinsley. 7-6.
Yeah.
Well,
coach would put me in that last play.
You won 8-0 versus Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln, Kansas. Yep, by Hayes.
You shut out two shutouts in a row. St. John, 14-0.
Yeah, take that, Tim Bowden. Bitch.
You lost against Mike. No, wait. That's why I said Mike Greensburg. You lost against Greensburg, Kansas.
Yeah, we beat Mike when Mike was playing. Mike's
14-8.
Yeah, Mike was a bitch when he played. I think he's a senior when I was a freshman. I remember scoring over the top.
Gaydon Plain?
Garden.
Okay, that's it says G-A-E. See,
that's
it does.
Pronounced wrong.
Sorry.
Anyhow, you can put
Garden
those stats
Plain,
up.
28-6.
Yeah, yeah.
You won. Hey, but you know what? You finished strong, Bear. You beat Mound Ridge 20-14.
Yeah, Mound Ridge.
And Sedgwick 59-36.
I think I scored probably.
What a shootout.
58 points of those were probably mine. Let's put the phone down. Let's move on.
ooh, 98, though, bro.
Yeah. It's
8-1.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
You beat Kinsley. Of course, you got your ass kicked by Claflin.
Claflin Wildcats.
But that's your only loss, Claflin.
Claflin.
Nice.
Yeah, they were good. It's not a big deal.
But the year before, what happened? Okay, I got to know what happened between 97. What happened in 98? Because 97, you sucked too. You were 2-7.
The worst is if you look at 94.
No, like it doesn't. Fairfield, 96, you won one.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't have any records against La Crosse or Greensburg.
Mike Greenleaf, you're listening.
97.
Bitch.
I'm sorry. 2-7. You beat Mound Ridge and Otis Bison.
You know Otis Bison's.
How the fuck is this like on the internet?
Just because, man, people want to know about my stats.
In 91, you went 0-8.
No, I wasn't there in 91.
There's no records in 92, 93, 94, or 95.
Doesn't matter. Put your phone down. Quit looking.
In 96, you won one game. I wonder if there's...
Look up the Sydney Cowboys, Dick. We were... But you know what's funny about getting older, and for all our friends out there in their 40s, it doesn't seem that long ago. That I was in high school.
I know.
Like, when I go to Ponca City Wildcat Sports and I see all the high school kids, I'm like, I know that I'm an old douche now. But it does not seem that long ago that I was in the pep section. You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't it funny how fast life goes by?
I sponsored a hole for this, and I did personally.
Yeah.
Not out of Rump Chat. But did Cole get with you? I think we're doing the Rodeo Days golf tournament for Rump Chat.
That's awesome. I think it's great. But do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like, how did I get here? Like, it happens so fast.
Huge.
Huge bush.
Now, apparently the stats are better in Kansas than Iowa, because there is zero. There's nothing. Got nothing.
Man, there's a lot of times I wish I could go to
Max Moore. He'd know.
I wish I could go back in time to Fairfield High School, ride back to the 90s and get my Ford Ranger.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Oh, getting my 1989 Ford Taurus.
It's a damn fine car.
Just, you know.
On the way down here today.
All the Glenwood chicks we used to have, they're so hot.
Just on the way down here today.
Christina Ludwig.
You still know their
Blair Wynnum.
I wonder what Blair Wynnum's doing today. I don't even know who
she is. She's awesome. Lives in Oklahoma City.
Really?
Yeah, she's a great gal.
God, I hope I bounce into her sometime. Yeah, ask her about the good old days.
But beautiful family. Should see her two sisters.
This is so much info. So moving on, though. So, Iowa basketball. Caitlin Clark. She changed everything.
I'm telling you, I followed women's sports. Like, my niece, she, you know, played in a couple state tournaments and won the state title. My other niece was very close. Reagan, awesome ball player. So I follow that, but I watched Caitlin Clark versus LSU and other teams, but mainly, like, into it. Like, I watched it like Iowa football.
No shit.
I was yelling at the screen. I was embarrassing my dad.
As an Iowa fan, were people blowing you up like they do with football and be like, "Oh, what about your girl?" I know Gary Gilbert did.
Garrison Panzer did. And somebody else texted me when UConn was kicking the shit out of them in the first half, and we got down to the rodeo, and I hauled ass home, and we watched the rest of it, and they beat them. I'm like, suck it. But that South Carolina, holy shit.
Oh, yeah, they were legit. But, like, Caitlin, you got to give Caitlin Clark credit. She has brought women's basketball back. Her and Angel.
Yeah,
oh, Bayou Barbie, which she's so hot.
No, her eyes are too far.
Oh, no, she's hot.
Angel anyway,
Reese, no, if you're listening, what's up, girl?
No, no, they. You know what?
Kids can ball.
But they're trash, because don't sit there and trash talk. Don't sit there in the year before and point at your finger. First off, when Caitlin Clark did that, you can't see me, she did it to her strength coach on the bench of Iowa. Didn't do it in the face of a competitor. She did the John Cena wave your hand in front of your face. You can't see me.
Yeah, that blew up.
She did that, and then she's pointing her ring finger in her face, falling around the court when Angel Reese. And then when Caitlin beat that bitch's ass.
However.
She didn't do shit. And then Angel cries. And then her teammate, she's putting up with so much stuff. You can't talk shit and then cry when you get your ass beat.
I did like what Angel Reese said. Angel said, when I step on the court, I have no friends. She's like, I don't like anybody. She's like, I like my teammate, but when I step on the court, I hate my competitors.
Well, first off, you shouldn't hate, but you don't have to get along with them. That was Michael Jordan's mentality, too. He was never – Tom Brady. They didn't go to dinner with friends or competitors. Never did. But Caitlin is the same way. But my point is, that's fine. That's great. But don't talk all this shit. Purposely make yourself the villain and then cry when you get your ass beat and say, oh, poor me, and have your freaking gangster ass teammate go, oh, she come none me, she doing that. No. Suck it up. If you're gonna talk shit, then you can't cry when you lose. Own it. That's all I'm going to say.
But their coach, the LSU coach, is awesome. That blonde lady just yells at everybody and has awesome outfits and just... Like, I never wanted to, and not a knock against women's sports, but I never really was into women's college basketball. But that, look after
how,
that
look
deal.
Look how jazzed up I'm getting right now.
I know. It's made me want to watch. Like, I am now invested
in. There's incredible players.
And you know what? I seen a deal the other day on SportsCenter that made a lot of sense. It said, college basketball sucks for men because everybody that's good stays for a year, maybe, and then they're gone.
Right.
So you can't build.
You can't follow it.
You can't build a character. Now, in college football, you can build a character.
Look back in the day. Look at our day. Kansas, Paul Pierce.
Yep. Greg Ostertag.
Greg Ostertag. Or UConn. That badass shoot. Well, I'm looking right. He played for the Celtics, bald-headed guy. Ray Allen.
Yeah, Ray Allen.
Yeah, Ray Allen was the list goes on and on. But that's the ones I remember. But now you can't because you don't know because they're off, they're gone.
But what Caitlin Clark did was
she stayed for 4 years.
Bring a group of people to watch. And they said, now I don't know if this is right, but they said that the women's Final Four got more views than the
18.3 million viewers.
That's amazing. You know what town she's from out in Iowa?
Des Moines.
From Des Moines.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know what that...
My niece Brooke, who plays for Fort Hays.
Yeah.
Hays, Kansas. Played against her in youth basketball when she was really young. But she's freaking... She is insane. But she brought light to so many other great women's basketball players. There was great... Like, I love that Haley Van Lith, the little blonde-headed girl with the braids.
Yeah, she transferred.
Yeah, well... She
transfer portaled.
Yeah, but, you know... She's a tough gal.
Yeah.
The South Carolina gals, the gal from UConn, the blonde-headed gal. I can't remember her names, but, you know, I will because, you know what, I'll probably pay attention.
Yeah. Do you think that, not even if you think that because it's the truth. The crazy thing is, like, Caitlin Clark is just a hard worker, loves basketball, plays her ass off. You know, doesn't really talk shit.
Well, and she does, and she can kind of be.
She has got a lot of haters.
She can kind of be a little, you know.
But if you're passionate.
But that's just, you know.
If you're passionate about the game. Yeah.
Anyway.
You're going to have a little emotion.
I'm telling you, if I lived in Indianapolis, I would buy season two, especially a father of daughters. I'd be going to their games because, I mean, there's little boys, you know, trying to get her. I would be down there fighting for an autograph.
Yeah,
I'm just proud because she's in Iowa. She shined a light on women's sports, plus the University of Iowa. Huge. On a scale that no college player has done basketball-wise, women ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And she's going to kick ass. Her and that Aaliyah Boston, who's on the Indiana team with her, I'm telling you, I'll be watching.
Yeah.
I will.
I really
and
do, too.
If I am, there's a lot of people. If there is some old codger-ass Cowboys, rodeo people in the Pendleton room in San Angelo, Texas, talking about Iowa women's basketball, just women's basketball, you don't think that there's millions and millions of other people? Yeah. Old Cowboys. Old Cowboys. Mike Gundy, she played pretty damn good because they know I'm a Hawkeye fan. But they watched all the judges. We were going to have a watch party, but I didn't have time. Todd Fike, Chuck Haas.
Well, Chuck's a big basketball fan. He's a KU basketball
fan. Yeah, Chuck and I talked. And Clayton Makem.
Yeah.
You know, Clayton. I caught Clayton staring at this gal. She had her walking around. There's the walkway around, you know, San Angelo in our stands. And she had these leopard print pants on. And a ass that would not stop, and Clayton was behind her, and I tried calling him, and he didn't answer because he was too mesmerized.
It's 10 o'clock.
It's 10:13.
God. Leopard.
Sorry, side story.
Leopard pants. Yeah, how do we go from women's basketball to rodeo judges and leopard pants?
I think our steaks are about done.
Yes, yes.
Yep, I better stop because this vodka tonic is
tasty. Oh, it's so good. It's so good to catch up, and I hope everybody enjoyed.
Rump Chat Nation.
Enjoyed everything from.
Big Bear and I are still madly in love.
We did not get divorced.
We did not get divorced.
I got a raise when I do come back to Angelo.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so.
He's getting a big raise. He will be back in 2026 and 2027.
Yes.
The deal is done. Per Justin Jonas, executive director.
Yeah.
And myself, it's signed off. Not really, but it's
so nobody worry. Everything's good. So
Matt did great. It was, you know, but that's just it. You know, it's going to change it. I think we ought to change music directors. That'd be awesome.
That might be fun for you to set out a year and get to really watch your rodeo and, like, go around.
Well,
and
this one pays too good.
How about on my off year, I come run music?
But it was fun. I'm telling you, that Sunday when Benji was doing it, I got to go down and bullshit with the bullfighters. I stood on the back of the chutes with Randy Kateri. Huge shout out. Randy Kateri, our opening video, I'm sorry, kicks everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Kicks everybody's ass.
Randy Kateri is a Caitlin Clark.
Our opening videos,
Nobody
can touch our opening videos.
Yep.
I don't care what size your rodeo is. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, he had, you know, Aaron Watson, narrating it. And, I mean, the work he puts into his craft, it's amazing. And I love having that guy part of this show.
Yep.
He is a huge part of this show. I'm going to post them all on YouTube. Oh, that means the steaks are done.
Well.
They're in the sous vide.
Ooh.
They're in a water bath. 126 degrees.
I did not know you could cook a steak like that.
Yep. It's called a sous vide.
Next week on Rump Chat, we will review a sous vide steak. Wrapped in plastic, dipped in hot water. Well,
pretty much.
Well, until next time, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Rump Chat. We appreciate you. Rump Chat Raw coming at you in a few days for the month of April with a undetermined guest, but it'll be extremely raw.
Who are we going to get?
It'll be so raw that we're not even telling you till it comes out. That's how raw it is. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And don't forget to check out Rodeo Patch. Check out Rump Chat Raw. If you've not heard the last one with Matt Tarr where we talk about aliens, it is the dumbest shit you'll ever listen to. You need to tune in. Rump Chat Raw, check out RodeoPatch.com. This is perfect. I got in a fight. We'll see you guys.
In a good thing.
Yes.
I didn't get late Saturday night.
This is a great song,
though. Did you?
Saturday?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't kiss and tell. We'll see you later, everybody.
Adios. I went to